Welcome back to Vermont. I'm Jane Lindholm. You may have grown up eating Wonder Bread, but if you're inclined to expand your bread horizons, there are a lot of bakers here in Vermont making loaves by hand. And it's not just Vermont. Artisanal bread baking has taken off in cities like Seattle, New York, and San Francisco. One of the leaders of the artisanal bread trend in San Francisco is Morrisville native Josie Baker. He didn't grow up baking here, but he learned a lot from Vermont's food trends.
I mean, Vermont is way ahead of most places when it comes to a lot of things, in my opinion. So we have a mill in our bakery, which we use to mill all of our whole grain flour. And Blair and Andrew from Elmore Mountain Bread, they just built their own mill, and they're now using that to mill. I think they're using it to mill all of their flour, which is remarkable and is really uncommon.
What's the difference in taste when you mill your own flour on site?
So most flour that's used for bread is white flour. And so that's just the starchy part of the wheat berry, the endosperm. And so with whole grain flour, you have all of the parts of the wheat berry. The thing about it is that when you mill the wheat berry into whole grain flour, those parts are more nutritious, but they also drastically shorten the shelf life of flour. But if you have your own mill, then you can mill the flour to suit your needs, and you can make sure that it's always really fresh. And so we mill 300 to 350 pounds a day, and we use it all within 24 hours of milling. And it makes for a lot more work, for sure, but it also opens up a lot of doors. And, you know, I think that it's worth it.
But you wrote that at one time you, like most people, thought that flour should have an aging process, that flour is better for the baking process if it has aged a little while. And so you're doing the opposite now. You're milling it and baking with it right away.
I know.
So
right. I really don't know what I'm doing. So
oh, yeah, clearly.
Me out.
No, I mean, you wrote that you had thought that way, and then you discovered that this way can actually really enhance the flavor of the bread. But does it change beyond the shelf life of the flour and of the bread, does it change either the cooking process or the taste?
Yeah, so there's a give and take there. There's a really subtle balance to find. You know, the jury is out. These questions are not questions that a ton of people are asking. And so, you know, the answer you get really depends on who you talk with. My experience has led that the sooner you use it, the better the flavor you can get out of the wheat. And I believe that most likely the better the nutrition. However, it seems to be that if you let it sit for a little while, you potentially can get a little bit more strength out of the dough. That's always what I'd heard, is that once you mill flour, you need to let it go through an aging process, and that basically will allow you to achieve a stronger dough, which yields a lighter loaf of bread, more volume in the loaf. But the loaves that we're making now, we baked some the other day, and my jaw just dropped. I said, "Oh my God, we're making better bread than we ever have before," which is really exciting. You know, that's our goal every day. We're always joking about it. I think tomorrow may be the best bread ever.
So if people are lucky enough to live in the Presidio, they can go and taste your experiments and really be your guinea pigs. But I would imagine in a cookbook, you're testing recipes. You're trying to make sure that the home baker is going to be able to replicate what you're doing here. Was that a frustrating process for somebody who does so much experimentation?
I hadn't written a cookbook before. I'd written actually many teacher's guides and children's books at my previous job. But in the process of writing it, it was invaluable. I had a bunch of recipe testers. I just made a call for recipe testers on my blog, and I heard back from hundreds of people. And so I'd send them out drafts, and they spent so much time not only following the recipes, but then writing me these extremely detailed notes, and really clear patterns emerged.
Huh.
And
so you could see what you needed to tweak.
Oh,
it wasn't
just
one baker who had her own quirks.
There was plenty of that, but there was also like, wow, like 20 out of 25 people said the same thing about this recipe.
So now, of course, you have your own place.
Sure do.
There's this whole internet conversation going on about $4 toast.
Oh, goodness
and
gracious.
And what that means. And, you know, you are the poster boy for all that is wrong in the world with upper middle class bourgeois toast eaters.
Yeah, I know.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, I can't imagine that that's a representation that you like, but you must have some thoughts on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got plenty of thoughts on it. I mean, you know, the title of the article was $4 Toast, Why the Tech Industry is Ruining San Francisco. And what a bummer to be accused of such a thing. And it makes you question everything you're doing, you know. Am I like ruining San Francisco with
single-handedly with your toast, right?
You know, I mean, it really threw me into a little bit of a tailspin. But you know, the way that we've gone about making our bread and the way we go about preparing our toast, which, you know, I have to say, the person who wrote that article, it was a stroke of genius, I think, the title, $4 Toast, because that's provocative, you know? And if you've never had the toast, you say, well, what the heck is going on there? That sounds like a ripoff. The way that we make bread and the way that we make toast, you know, it's really, we're trying to make the best tasting thing that we can, period, you know? And so the way that we make our bread, which is the foundation of our toast, right? It's really a compliment. The success of our toast is a compliment about the quality of our bread. But it's really labor intensive. You know, we don't cut any corners around it. If we wanted to make more bread or make bread faster, there's a million ways we could do it.
But bread cheaper, presumably.
Yeah, exactly. And all of those ways would compromise the quality. And so that's not what the goal is. You know, perhaps most dramatically, we mill all of our own whole grain flour, and that's mostly what we use in the bakery. And is that a lot more work? Yeah, of course it is. You know, all of our bread is sourdough bread, which really complicates things and in our palates makes for the best tasting bread. But we do it all with our hands. You know, the dough is in the mixer for a few minutes at the beginning of its life. But from then on out, it's just a few people standing around a table in a room trying to figure out when is it the right moment to do the next thing to this dough. And it's the same thing with the baking of the bread. And then the same thing with the delivery of the bread. I mean, you know, there's challenges with doing things the way that we do them, aside from the amount of work it takes, is that there is a little bit of education required of our customer base, because the bread that we make is not like most bread. I mean, most bread is weeks old by the time you eat it. Our bread, a lot of the time, is warm before you eat, from the oven, as you're trying to eat it. And yes, I've had to caution our customers that actually, because of the amount of whole grains in our bread, and especially any of our breads that have rye flour in it, it really needs to be cool before it's done cooking.
If I can get good bread in Vermont, which I can.
Absolutely.
And, you know, anybody can get pretty good bread if they're willing to seek it out, no matter where they live. Why should I bother to go through all the work to make my own bread and the bread that you've put out in this cookbook? I mean, you yourself had to do acupuncture and all this kind of stuff because your hands get so tired from cooking and or from baking. So why don't I just let you do all the hard work, and I can, you know, if I got $4 to spare, I can have a great piece of toast. Why should I bother doing it myself?
Don't bother.
Okay.
Just come to me. No. No, it's true. Here in Vermont, there's lots of really amazing bread. But in lots of places, there's actually not a lot. There's not much to choose from other than the stuff that's in the supermarket that's wrapped in plastic, which is just a whole different thing than bread that's made on a small scale and that's actually fresh. And so, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's just a better choice to bake at home. But if you are in a place where you've got great bread at your fingertips, just like I was in San Francisco, the thing that attracted me to bread baking was what a wonderful hobby it is, and what a just an incredible way to spend my time, to spend your time. I was actually seeking a new hobby at the time I discovered bread baking, and I specifically wanted something that would keep me at home and that would force me to practice patience, because, you know, like most people, I'm not that good at being patient. And it becomes this process that once you start a loaf of bread, you know that, you know, for the next day or few days, you're going to be tending to that loaf, which is going to culminate in, hopefully, if everything goes right, a really delicious, fresh loaf of bread that you made yourself. And I do really firmly believe that when you put part of yourself into the process, and I'm talking about something sort of, you know, fuzzy here, it translates and it comes across in the finished product. You know, that was what I experienced in those first few loaves that I found so enticing, was that sort of deep connection that I had through the process of making bread and then transferred through the sharing of the bread. And, you know, bread plays a really significant role in our culture and in our history. And, you know, I think this is what I'm talking about right here, is that I don't know exactly what it is, but it's special. And obviously, through baking and breaking bread is not the only way to share this connection with other people, but it does a great job.
That's Vermont native Josie Baker. He's the co-owner of the Mill Bakery in San Francisco. His cookbook is called Josie Baker Bread. We spoke with him when he was home a few weeks ago on book tour. And by the way, despite all of the press, the toast at his bakery actually costs a little bit less than $4. And it comes with butter or homemade jam. That's it for today. Now tomorrow, the consequences of hoarding. What might seem like an innocent inability to throw things away can eventually lead to overloading a home or apartment with stacks of unwanted junk, and that in turn can result in isolation, unsafe conditions, and squalor. We're going to hear from the experts on how to break the cycle of hoarding, and you can send your questions or comments to VermontEdition@vpr.net. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.